Well, thank you. Needed to get that recorded and down. Now, wow, 12:20. I'm going to have to do this in a couple minutes. I need to say a word to you, and I need to confess and repent. So if you'll give me 10 minutes to do that. The word is, and I can't spend more time on it, is 2 Corinthians chapter 26, 1 through 16. This is the story of Uzziah. Uzziah, and I'll do it quick. Uzziah is a king. As a young boy at 16, he was put on the throne. Unlike his father, he began to give himself in the ways of the Lord. It says in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That's what happened. God made him prosper. I have a warning for me and for you, and I wish for every leader in the Western world, and I know the Spirit's doing it. But our distractions are not always immorality, you know what I mean? Are not always idolatry and money and women and, you know, all the stuff that you hear the scandals. Listen, that's a distraction, but there's another one that's pretty center to what happens in people's lives, and it is happening to me, has happened to me, and I'm repenting of it over and over again. It's this process of the Lord making us prosper. God made him prosper, Uzziah. Everything he did, it was starting to grow. He was getting strong in various places. In verse 6, he makes war against the Philistines. He breaks through the walls. In 7, God helps him with the Philistines, and he has victory. In verse 8, the Ammonites, an enemy, starts paying him money. And then says in verse 8, and his fame spread. When his fame spread, it was the open door to his fall. And it goes on and gives us more verses about how his fame spread. And then pick up with me, if you will, in verse 15. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped by the Lord till he was strong. And then verse 16 is my verse today, this verse. In verse 16, it says, but when he was strong, Uzziah, he grew proud to his destruction. That phrase, he grew proud to his destruction, for he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. And he enters the temple. Uzziah, king, becomes arrogant and thinks he can do anything. And he rushes into the temple doing a religious thing to offer incense. And does anybody remember what happens? 80 priests try to get him to stop doing what he's doing because it's illegal and arrogant. And they're watching him, and leprosy forms right on his forehead. And then he's filled with leprosy. And he was a leper for all the days of his life, and he never, ever came back to the house of the Lord. This is one of the more tragic stories in the Bible. There's many of them. But it's a story that tells us about the process of when the anointing and blessing of God comes, the grace of God, and increases your work and makes you strong. It's clearly the Lord that's doing this for him. His heart became proud, and it led to destruction. The scriptures are pretty clear, and it's a law in the spirit set by God. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. It's going to happen. There'll always be disgrace when pride comes, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Pride is the forerunner. It's the prophetic forerunner, if you will, of destruction and mayhem and chaos that happens. And a haughty spirit comes before the fall. James 4:6, but God gives grace. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We've talked about this before, but I felt led, I don't know why, but that I was supposed to publicly repent and confess two things. Number one, I just confess pride. Just, you know, just a little insecure little guy that wants to be something from Illinois. And tiny measures of talent. And then that talent gets recognized by people. And then you have some measure of success. And then it goes to your heart. And pride begins to infect you like a bacteria. And there are layers of pride in my heart and in my mind. And I'm really, really sorry, because there's no way that hasn't affected you at some level. You may not have seen it. You may not think it has relevant to you. But I need to say to all of you, I want to confess that I've been arrogant. None of my sins compete with this one. I got lots of them, but this is the deal. This is the core of the deal with everybody on the planet. It really is. But I'm personally under conviction about it, and I'm sorry. Pride has many flavors. It's boasting, or it's secretly, creatively boasting. It's insecurity. It's fear. I'm telling you, I know I would be the poster boy for what a pride guy would look like. The Chinese over there I was with, you know, were saying, we need to make a movie out of you, because I was, bah, you know, in my group, and I'm doing this and leading the group, and that's all funny and seducing because I'm dramatic. And so I look like the poster boy for what a pride guy could be, but I want to warn you, as I confess about myself, pride comes in many different flavors and many different packages. The most quiet person in this room could be secretly so prideful. Pride is the infection that started in an angel's heart a zillion years ago as he raged and was made for glory, Lucifer, and he noticed his own beauty and he became proud and wanted to ascend the throne. And that infection has filled the globe, and we are in that dark age until Jesus changes things again. And that infection has got in me. I have multiply had cycles where it's happened to my heart and he breaks me. It happens in my heart and he breaks me. And it's happening to me again. It started in a more intense way 2 years ago. I was sitting in my living room, and pardon me if you've heard this story, but it's tragic, and it's my father who loves me and won't let me get away with this kind of heart. I sat in my rocker in my living room, and I had an inward vision. Don't make a big deal of that. I had an inward vision of millions of people worshiping Jesus on his throne on earth. He had taken his throne on earth, and there's just a locked in. Everybody's head is looking forward, worshiping Jesus. I see this one afternoon in my heart. I mean, I just have an impression of it. And then I see my little head in the middle of those millions, and my head does this. It looks this way, and it looks that way. And I had the thought in my heart, is he going to get it all? I had that thought in my heart. Is he getting it all? And I knew it. I wanted a little of it. I wanted just a little. I felt so grieved and convicted. Amy McVeigh, who besides the Holy Spirit is the best helper to Sam McVeigh with his junk, has always come near me when I tell her my struggles or convictions. I went and told Amy this. I had this thing. I saw myself look and was like, is he going to get it all? Amy did this. Whoa. You need to deal with that. Like lightning was going to strike in the room. And I felt the sobriety. I mean, if I didn't already feel the sobriety of the moment, my tender wife was like, that's poison. That you got to get rid of that. And it was so kind of my father to expose me in that way. It was his kindness. And I've been in a process for 2 years, and even this weekend, coughing up layers of pride that are in my heart and in my life. And I'm sorry, deeply sorry. Secondly, I want to confess a corporate pride. And this is a big deal and it may not mean much to you. I want to confess that I have rejected my call to primarily be a leader of prayer. I have rejected it because of multiple things. The Lord has made it clear to me that I'm supposed to call people to prayer. I'm supposed to help them to pray. We're supposed to be a body that's a prayer. Dick Coons and I sat on my porch yesterday repenting and recovenanting ourselves to be a people of prayer. I've let that go, and I'm sorry. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and do what? Pray and seek my face, then I'll come and heal their land. I rejected prayer. I've been praying. We've had some prayer meetings, but I didn't maintain what he called me to do. Corporate prayer is the proof of corporate humility. Corporate non-prayer is the proof of corporate pride. I'm very, very sorry about not being a better leader in the last couple years. It happened to me for two reasons. In 11 and 12, I got hit. I got hit in some relational circles. Some things happened away from me and close to me, some just and some unjust. And my little heart got wounded and weak, and it retreated from corporateness at some level. I just got hurt. It's Ezra 4. In Ezra 4, the remnant comes out and starts building the temple. I don't know if you remember that. And they get the foundation laid and the altar, and then the enemy comes in, and he starts hitting them, and then 18 years later, they're still not doing anything. They stopped working on the house. I've done that. And I'm so sorry. I've rejected that call and the calling of you to prayer and leading you to prayer, whatever grace that God might give me. I did it for that, and I did it because I got distracted with expansion of ministry. As Dick was saying, we're not only local, now we're doing some regional stuff with Wichita and global training leaders. That may sound like a prideful thing to do. I don't see it that way. I can't believe they're the heroes. I'm just so glad we get to help India and Africa and Middle East and now Asia. But all that happened, and it was very distractive doing a good thing of working. And I still got to do, you know, I think there's more travel and various things for me to do, but I'm never to forsake the place of prayer. Never. And it's central call. And I'll say this to you as I end. To all y'all, some of you are new, some of you have been around for a while, some are not here and going to watch this later and listen. But I know that I know that I know that what we do with prayer in El Dorado, not just a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, I'm talking about a daily giving ourselves in a unique way to prayer like we've done in the past. What we do with prayer in El Dorado has consequences on El Dorado in the harvest. It has consequences on Wichita. Wichita's 10,000 and the prayer that's supposed to happen there, which I talked about with the Wichita Saints. We've got amazing intel on what's supposed to happen there. I'm starting to gather prayer leaders in Wichita. I'm calling them on the phone. I'm saying, please meet with me. I want to talk about how we can unify in prayer from the charismatic circles and the evangelical circles. But listen, what happens in El Dorado affects what happens there. And I know, while I was in Asia, I'm seeing North Koreans, I'm seeing mission all over the place. And the only thing I can think about is prayer in Kansas. And I feel, I hear, you know, sense the Spirit whisper to me, what you do with prayer in Kansas has global consequences. It has global consequences. You won't know them until the great day of evaluation. Just like we won't know if we pray, and we have prayed, some great things that are happening. We don't get to know. Prayer is one of the most hidden, humble things you can do. But if we don't do it, it affects globally the effect of mission in some other places. I'm watching the great ones there going in and out of Middle East and stuff. I'm like, oh, I know my assignment is to rally hundreds, Gideon's army in El Dorado, 300, thousands in Wichita that are giving themselves to praying for the unreached nations and for the missionaries and for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I know that I know that I know it. And I lost it. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. I'm locked in. I'm asking for your prayer. I'm asking for healing. Sorry if you think this is dramatic. It's a big moment for me. I'm going through a transitional time in my life right now. And I need to get this off my chest. I would ask that you pray for me to embrace humility like never before and all of its ensuing actions, prayer, fasting, servanthood. Oh, I want to serve, you know, servant in leadership. Look, pray for humility and pray that we would not get our eye off the ball. Because if I think I've been hit so far, we're about to get hit. Things are about to increase. Some of our young ones among us, little Lydia Humig is just having dream after dream, what's coming. And it's not enemy, it's good. God will get us through, but there's some intense times coming. And I tell you, you want to be found in a prayer culture. You want to be found in a prayer culture when this stuff happens. And I know all of hell's against us doing this and against me doing it, but I'm committed and resolved to embrace humility and to be a man of prayer and to lead you to help me pray, if you would, for the nations. So sorry. And I'm not kidding when I ask you, please forgive me. Because I want more than forgiveness. I want James 5:16 healing. I want healing in my heart. I want to think outside of trying to build my stinking little thing. I was having a hard time thinking outside the bubble. And now my mind's breaking open as I embrace humility. And so let us embrace this next season together. Thank you for listening to that as I obeyed. Would you all please stand? Said this to a couple people, and they said, are you kidding? This is the plague of all of us. So I'm going to get mine. I'm going after mine. I hope you'll do yours, because it is a season that we must humble ourselves. the seduction to go build your own paneled house and build your life and not give yourself, have your dream you've always had. I'm seeing people seduced by it and seduced by it and giving up their destiny in the kingdom. Not wanting suffering, just wanting their dreams. And God's going to have to help us to give up our lives on this side so that we get our treasure in heaven. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your love for us. Father, I'm so glad that you discipline me. I'm so thankful that you don't remove our candlestick, lampstand. You restore things that go dim. You raise things back up that fall down. And you bring it more mature and you redeem the time. Thank you that all of us, we've wasted years and wasted moments, but you're the God who restores the years that the locusts have eaten away. And so, Lord, I do publicly confess personal pride and corporate pride. I'm asking you free me from the tentacles of that in my heart and my mind. I pray that for my friends and family here. Help us to be a community that embraces humility in the cross and gives our lives away for the sake of Jesus and the gospel. And you show us what that is. Lord, I put our and my weak little heart before you. We're hopeless without your transformation. Touch those today that are burdened and broken. Touch those that may have heard something today and that the word of God's cooking in them. We pray they could go all the way in repentance and confession. I pray for those that are in trouble today. They're in trouble in money. They're in trouble in relationships. God, reach in and rescue and let the body of Christ be the body of Christ. We love you. We trust you. And we say, have your way with us now. I just want to lastly pray. Lord, I pray Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, where it says, you post watchmen on the wall to cry out day and night. We need more than man's enthusiasm to do what you've called us to do. So I pray for your posting ministry, your delegating, your putting people in the right place. Move our hearts. And God, again, teach us how to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.